I think it's the only shot that the Republican Party has, is that it adopts the libertarian, many of the libertarian principles.
The status quo is not working. Doesn't work, didn't work then, it's not working now.
In his work for the presidential campaigns of Ted Kennedy and Walter Mondale to promoting democracy in Africa, political consultant Joe Trippi has changed politics in fundamental ways. In 2004, his pioneering use of crowdfunding helped launch Howard Dean to the forefront of Democratic candidates. Reason TV spoke with Trippi at National School Choice Week in San Francisco to discuss his surprising predictions about the inevitable death of political parties and the rise of libertarians as an enduring force in American politics.
Hi, I'm Todd Cranin with Reason TV. We're here at National School Choice Week in San Francisco, and I'm here with Joe Trippi.
Good to be with you.
So what brings you here in general? What is your message?
I've been involved with the School Choice Week for a few years now, I think three or four actually, but I've always been a proponent of more choice in schools. I mean, there's some ideas of education reform that I'm not for, but I think, hey, the status quo is not working. Let's put everybody's ideas on the table, everybody's, including, hey, if you support the current public school system the way it is, you know, let's talk about it. But I don't think it's working. I think families should have a choice. When I was growing up, we were right on the line. And one district was gangs and a bunch of kids that weren't getting very good education, weren't going on, weren't even graduating from high school. The other, on the other side of the line, the schools were better, safer, fewer gangs, and most of the kids were doing well and had a shot at college. Our house was on the wrong side of the line. And my mother, who raised five kids by herself, went down there, fought like crazy, and got me, somehow talked them, convinced them that they should let me go to the good schools. And, you know, the whole thing, watching her do that, just made me, I mean, so I'm talking 5 years old, 6 years old, I'm not talking like I came to this yesterday. It's like, why is it that she had to fight to get me into a school that was safe? The reason School Choice Week is because technology is moving so fast that most government bureaucracies can't keep up with it. One of them is education, just textbooks, taking 7 years to get an economics textbook into a classroom. How is it that kids like me can't decide what school they're going to? That so they're born or raised in that district, that's where they're going. That's been wrong for 50 years. And by the way, if you want any proof of it, go into those neighborhoods today, because they're still there.
So you've been sympathetic to the movement for a long time.
No, I've been for school choice since the day I entered kindergarten. We've got more choice at a 7-Eleven than we do in how we educate our children. It's like crazy.
I'm always reminded of that scene in Moscow and the Hudson when Robin Williams cannot believe the amount of, it's either toothpaste or coffee that to choose from, having come from the Soviet Union. He literally becomes overwhelmed by the whole experience. He collapses in the aisle of the 7-Eleven or something like that.
Coffee. We got more 500 cable channels, but one size fits all schools.
Right. No, so there's something fundamentally American about having that choice.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, okay, so given that, I wonder if we can pivot a little bit to more traditional topic of politics and sort of the inner workings of it. And I'm just wondering what you make of the rise of libertarian politics within the Republican Party. Is that a lasting, transformative shift that's happening now? Or is this something that may peter out within a few years?
I think it's the only shot that the Republican Party has, is that it adopts the libertarian, many of the libertarian principles, and sort of that wing of the party, or that impulse within the party, emerges as the leader of the future for the party. Demographically, it's going to be very tough for the Republican Party as it's currently constructed to win a national election. I don't see it happening in 2016 or 2020. And I think part of that is twofold. When you have a party that's that is so reliant on white voters, and I'm not, you know, that's just a fact. I mean, they're getting, you know, Romney got nearly 60% of the white vote and almost, you know, pretty much nothing among everybody else. There's a problem when older white voters are dying and the younger white voters are very libertarian. The younger generation is probably the most libertarian and sort of tolerant and has more libertarian values, I'd say, than any generation in American history. If the Republican Party picks the Tea Party as the party of the future, it's over for the Republicans. Then I think the libertarians may have to, and might be, very well succeed in creating another party. Because I think there's plenty of Democrats who are much more fiscally, who would love to see a party that, or a political philosophy that is fiscally sound, fiscally responsible, socially libertarian or tolerant. I mean, those that combine. And so you got elements of that in the Democratic Party, elements of it in the Republican Party, but the Republican Party doesn't seem, because of the Tea Party and other factors, doesn't seem like it's willing to go that way. Although it will be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how Rand Paul and others do in the presidential primaries of 2016.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Rand Paul specifically, because it does seem like in order to resolve that tension between the establishment Republicans and the libertarians and the Tea Party, as it were, it's going to take some kind of individual, a leader that people will gravitate to. And I'm wondering, in your view, is that going to be Rand Paul? Is it going to be someone else? Is he the kind of person who can do
that? He's so far the likely embodiment of who's going to raise the flag and try to take the hill, and I think has a real shot at taking it.
Really?
You know, there's going to be a fight of titans, two or three. I mean, I think, you know, whether it's establishment, Tea Party, Libertarian, but those three, at least two, are going to emerge as the top two contenders, and then have a real huge fight for the nomination that I expect is going to go into probably a floor fight at the convention, much like Kennedy Carter, where the Democratic we had, you know, the liberals, and I was with Kennedy. We had this knockdown, dragout fight that starts the process of leading to Bill Clinton being. I mean, it took a long that fight. It came to a head in 1980, but it took a while. And often what happens is when you have these kind of big schisms and huge fights for the nomination, it's very healthy for the party. The party becomes much stronger and finally finds its path to the future, and a much more successful path to the future. But that year is usually pretty bad for the party. I mean, you know, Reagan won the presidency.
Short term it's bad, but long term.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of, if you were asking me what's going to happen in 2016, I think what's going to happen is the Republicans are going to have a huge fight. If I were looking at that party we're trying to look at what's the best path to the future, I think it's libertarian. But then, hey, I'm a liberal Democrat, so they're not going to take my advice, but we'll see what happens.
I was also going to mention that there seem to be other sort of unclaimed issues by the mainstream establishment that are on the table, things like the NSA, or certainly raising that as an issue, or drug legalization within states.
Yeah, no. Look, I think the issues that are emerging are really coming to the fore for a libertarian candidate. I mean, NSA, the both parties' establishments are not likely to take on the national security apparatus in a meaningful way. I don't see Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton having a big fight over the NSA. I mean, it may come up. It's obviously going to come up, and they're obviously going to want to change it here and there, but I don't think they're going to have a big fight over it. I think a voice out there like Rand Paul raising that issue, there's a lot of room for that. A lot of room on drug, you know, legalization of drugs and reforming how, you know, how much money we're blowing in prisons and other things when you see states all over the country starting to move, Washington and Colorado, you know, moving to legalization of marijuana. The interesting thing is I'm not sure there are enough votes in the Republican Party for that. You know, are there enough votes for somebody who speaks out for legalization of marijuana, for instance? It's just one. I don't think so. Is there enough votes between libertarians in the Republican Party, independents, and Democrats in the Democratic Party, when, you know, it's very doubtful that an establishment candidate in the Democratic Party is going to be for those things either? So I think there's plenty of room. The question I've got is whether it's wise to keep trying to fight for the room within the Republican Party, or whether it would be smarter, given basically how the country is upset with both parties. I mean, it's pretty much close to despises both of them. Is now not potentially a time for somebody to actually break away from one of the two parties and try to create a third way, a libertarian party? I think there's plenty of room for someone like that, and that might be smarter than trying to run within against the establishment of either one. Both parties are really, really, really good at killing insurrections within taking on the party establishment. I mean, they set the rules the right way to do that. I mean, it's all stacked. And I mean, I know, because I've gone up against the establishment in my party, you know, more times. It's like banging your head up against the wall, and it happens. And the Republicans are actually even better at shutting down an insurgency.
Or co-opting.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's one sort of fissure that looms in the horizon. But another one is technology. And you've talked about how you don't see the Democrat and Republican parties as having the kind of entrenched duopoly that they have, that they've enjoyed for, 150 some odd years. And that technology will play, you're quite confident that it will play a really disruptive force in that in the future. And I was wondering if you could discuss that briefly.
Well, the internet's going to wipe out both parties at some point. I mean, or make them less able to control everything. I mean, there's going to be a third. We're going to have an independent president and more independents in the House and the Senate. The only reason you needed the parties were the platform, policy platform, think tanks, things like that. The money, the infrastructure of raising money, and the infrastructure of organization. That was it. Well, the both party platforms, are you kidding me? None of the nominees in recent times have ever paid any attention to their platform. Let the crazy people write your platform, and I'm gonna go say whatever I wanna say and run TV ads anyway. So there's no one doing that. I mean, the platform committee has nothing to do with it. Money. You know, both Howard Dean and Barack Obama and Ron Paul to a large degree showed that, you know, millions, hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans giving $10, $25 can compete with the likes of a Romney or a Hillary, the Clinton money machine. And you don't need the party's big donor base. In fact, by the way, if enough people give you $5 and $10, trust me, the big money base suddenly discovers you too. So, and they'll discover the third, the independent, if the person starts to take over. And organizationally, same thing. The internet and technology makes it possible. I mean, individual candidates can, with attractive ideas, can get hundreds of thousands of people, millions, to sign up and go work for them on the street, knocking on doors, making phone calls, that way outflank the party organizations in either party in a given state or county or whatever. So those three things are totally gone. You know, but Ross Perot in '92, when he ran, the first time, had there was no internet. I mean, there was, but there were like few people on it. Ross Perot went into the lead. People forget this.
Sure, I remember.
He was taking the lead. Well, he had taken the lead with the internet, with what we've got now with Facebook and Twitter and people's emails and people sending $5 or $10. I'm not saying he would have won. I'm just saying it would have been a completely different game.
Oh, had he been in the race today? But yeah. Money was never an issue for Perot.
No,
right?
But I meant about people having that kind of ownership where they're actually able to communicate and sign up. Somebody's going to do it, and somebody who can get people's attention and create a following could easily swamp the two parties.
I'm curious too, every few years technology just moves so crazy fast now that every few years there does seem to be a transformative new technology. You know, earlier we talked about in the Dean campaign, it was crowdfunding, for example, and then I remember in a interview I read of yours about 4 or 5 years ago, you were saying, you know, with the YouTube age, it's video now is going to do things. Is there something on the horizon now that has that kind of transformative power in politics, a new technology or emerging technology?
Well, no, I mean, I think big data is still gonna, which had the biggest impact of 2012. I think that was really what gave Obama a big advantage over Romney. They weren't even on the same playing field. I think, at least today, that's going to even be on, it's big data on steroids in 2016. You know, Moore's Law, where we computer power doubled every 18 months to 2 years, the leaps are exponentially, I mean, like off the charts, massively disruptive and big. And that's not just going to change how a campaign's waged. It's why government can't keep up, the laws can't keep up. Everything now is, and the reason everything feels faster is because of that, the size of the leap. The size of the leaps now only get bigger and more disruptive. Like all the disruption of the last 30 years is now going to be sandwiched into the next 2 years. I mean, life as we know it is really radically going to change. A lot of old ideas are going to be revealed as obsolete. That may be an opening also for libertarian or some other force. The base orthodoxy of both parties is going to be revealed, I think, as obsolete. Bush spent a lot of money. Obama spent a lot of money. The Fed is quantitative easing. And it ought to like make everybody wonder, like, wait a minute, every government on the planet is printing money as fast as the press printing press will print it, and they still can't inflate their way out of this. That's the old way, and it's not working. And I think we've seen plenty of places where they went total austerity, cut back, tightened the belt really hard, and that's not working well at all.
Where has that happened?
Huh?
Where is
well, that? Yeah, that's a good point too. That's right. But I mean, what I'm saying is, I don't think that would be a smart answer to try it. I mean, look, Instagram, 15 people start Instagram, launch Instagram. Eastman Kodak, 186,000 people who will never work in photography again. Chemical engineers who were, okay. It's 15 people, 186,000 people. Those 15 people are going to make millions when they got bought by Facebook, right?
Right.
So, and the 186,000 are doing what today? Right. So what I'm saying is that is all going to speed up.
The disruption is going to
speed up. Now, I think both parties have plenty of people in them that are capable of thinking differently and starting to put different ideas out there. But the establishments in both parties are not going to let them do that. That's where I think there is a big opening, whether it's libertarian or not. I mean, I think there's a big opening for someone in some thing, new way of thinking about it, mostly because they won't have an establishment to deal with.
So like the Ross Perot or the Jesse Ventura, those are like templates,
yeah.
More than this specific.
And I'm also like not, you know, naive and think, you know, anybody can walk into that. It's going to have to be somebody with some real ideas and who's really thought about it. And I think that's where libertarianism, it's got some real possibilities, because there is a philosophy there that's got some, that's, look, I think there are plenty of people in the Republican Party who are attracted to libertarian principles. I don't think there's enough of them to win the Republican nomination. I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to find out I am. I think there's plenty of people in the Democratic Party who find some ideas of the libertarians attractive and would appeal to them. Not enough to win the Democratic nomination. So what keeps happening is you get these libertarian candidates who decide to run for their party nominee, you know, or the conventional way, and there aren't enough votes in any one party for them to do it. There are, I think, enough votes out there, potentially, to run as just a straight up libertarian. Here's my ideas, and forget about these two parties, and let's do this different. I'm not saying that'll win, but I think that's a better shot than trying to become the Republican nominee. That's but I still think Rand Paul's going to try to become the Republican nominee.
Via convention.
Yeah, right. And so the best thing each party's got going for them, the other party.
Right.
I mean, come on. I'm a Democrat. You know, the best thing we got going for us is the Republicans.
Yeah, but maybe.
You know, and I'm sure there are plenty of Republicans who think the same thing.
But maybe someone like Rand Paul, who is young, tries the conventional way a time or two. It doesn't work out, as you predict.
Yeah, sure.
And then they start saying, well, you know, maybe it is time to do a true 21st century campaign that bypasses the partisan politics.
Totally possible, yeah.
Great.
Cool.
On that note, thank you very much, Joe Trippi. I appreciate talking to you.
No, it's good to be with you, and I hope... I don't get in too much trouble.
Me too.
Thanks.
I'm Todd Cranin for Reason TV.
I'm Joe Trippi.